and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Judicial Commission is rejecting several complaints against Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. The complaints allege some of her comments during her election campaign violated the state's Judicial Code of Ethics. The Judicial Commission's decision came in May, and Protasiewicz shared it with the Associated Press today. Some Republicans in the legislature are keen on impeaching Protasiewicz. Earlier today, Senator Van Wongard asked Commissioner Yolanda Anderson about justices and Wisconsin's open meetings law.
If four of the seven act without telling the other three, are there potential consequences for that? Any idea?
If there is a complaint filed with the Judicial Commission, that is a matter of discussion with the Judicial Commission. I cannot make a statement as to whether or not we'd be able to act on it unless there is a complaint before our body.
Okay. But if there's a complaint, you guys would look at that, right?
Yes.
Anderson was testifying at her confirmation hearing for a new term. Social media platforms are doing less these days to curb election misinformation. A bill in Congress aims to push back against misinformation's threat to democracy. Catherine Carley reports.
Backers of the Freedom to Vote Act say it would prohibit false statements about federal elections designed to prevent people from voting, including from the candidates themselves. Emma Steiner with Common Cause says disinformation can often be hard to spot.
A lot of times people fall for disinformation because it seems to confirm something they already believe, and that's where people get tripped up.
Steiner recommends people always refer to official sources for voting information, including Secretary of State's offices or local election boards. She says disinformation often increases after an election, before the final votes are even tallied. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
A state wildlife area near Whitewater is about to double in size. More from Nate Wegehout.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is buying more than 1,800 acres of land in Jefferson County next to the Princes Point Wildlife Area. The agency will get to work right away restoring wetlands with the help of federal money. The new expanded wildlife area will be geared for duck hunting, paddling, and bird watching. There will also be opportunities for boating, canoeing, and hiking. Some areas could be open to the public in a matter of weeks. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
It's the first day of school in much of Wisconsin. Fines may be going up for not stopping for a school bus. A bill in the legislature would raise fines to as high as $1,000. Right now, the highest fine is $300. The bill would also take 3 points off a driver's license. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Burnett County Sheriff's Office announced a man shot another man in the town of Siren on Friday, then called the police to report the shooting. Authorities received a call around 8:30 in the evening on Friday from the alleged shooter. When law enforcement responded, they attempted life-saving measures but were unsuccessful, and 37-year-old Aaron Holmstrom was pronounced dead at the scene. Authorities then arrested the 18-year-old who allegedly shot Holmstrom and contacted the police. United States Representative Derek Van Orden visited the Chippewa Valley this week to get feedback before drafting the 2023 Farm Bill. Congressman Van Orden spoke to Wisconsin farmers to find out where the Farm Bill could be improved and reiterated his support for SNAP programs without work requirements that could take aid away from people who truly need it. The Farm Bill sets federal funding for agricultural programs every 5 years. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers reboot against the Pirates. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Pirates face off again tonight at PNC Park, game time 5:35. Brandon Woodruff against Pittsburgh's Andre Jackson. The Brewers lost the series opener last night, 4-2 against the Pirates. After the game, Brewers starting pitcher Corbin Burnes seemed to remember nearly every pitch he gave up. 4 runs on 7 hits, 2 home runs. Over 6 innings, including veteran Andrew McCutchen.
The double to McCutchen before was a changeup right down the middle. The next inning, they scored 2 runs. The curveball to Reynolds right down the middle. You know, mistake to McCutchen and line another slider right down the middle. So it was more about early on we were really good executing, getting stuff at the edges, getting swing and miss, putting hitters away when we got the two strikes, and then the second time through we got two strikes. We just left pitchers right in the middle of the plate and they hit them.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell on Burns' performance.
I mean, I thought he came out, you know, throwing the ball great. I thought it was really, really good. The mistakes he made, they did damage on his mistakes. So it was extra base hits, obviously a couple homers, and, you know, that's putting runs on the board quick. So that's what hurt him tonight.
And the Brewers' Freddie Peralta named National League Pitcher of the Month. Peralta on what made the difference for him in August.
I think for me, it's more like the way that I've been taking care of like myself and the situation that I've been in, that I can handle all those situations. It's awesome, and I've been feeling great and excited for see what's coming for us and for me.
College football, Duke stuns number 9th ranked Clemson last night, 28-7. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell is not happy with Air Force after they denied defensive back Michael Mack's request to transfer to Wisconsin, now under appeal.
I'm going to kind of hold my tongue to say anything about the Air Force Academy and how they've treated the kid, but we'll wait on with the NCAA. It's in their hands and so kind of leave it at that.
Fickell on his subdued mood after Wisconsin beat Buffalo Saturday in the season opener.
I probably wasn't as fired up as maybe I needed to be. Deep down inside, I just felt like we were sloppy.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Tuesday that feels like a Monday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, we talked about some of the breaking news as we turn the hours here to the happier happy hour. Ex-Proud Boy leader Tario sentenced to 22 years for January 6th Capitol attack.
Damn.
That is the longest prison term so far handed out in the January 6th. He was convicted of seditious conspiracy, and he recruited a group of 200 that marched on the Capitol, though he wasn't in D.C. that day. So he was an orchestrator, but not on the ground. Yet he got 22 years. I wonder if Trump's team's looking at this today. A little of the coverage from the, not the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, my bad. Former Proud Boys leader Henry Enrique Tario, convicted of leading the group that one judge called the tip of the spear that allowed people to end up getting in the Capitol on January 6, 2021, was sentenced Tuesday to 22 years in prison. The longest sentence yet among the hundreds of convicted of disrupting the peaceful transfer of presidential power. 22 years, a long time for being a tourist.
Staying inside the velvet ropes, right? Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin.
Tario, 39, was convicted of seditious conspiracy and obstructing the congressional proceedings meant to confirm the 2020 presidential election as part of a riot. I don't prefer to use that term, Dom, but they use it here. A riot that the U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly said last week broke America's long democratic tradition of peaceful transfers of power. Tario was the last of five Proud Boys to be sentenced after all were convicted in May following a 15-week trial. And Tario was arrested and convicted, even though he wasn't in D.C. on January 6th. He had been arrested in December 2020 after he burned a Black Lives Matter flag torn down from a D.C. church during the protest in the city following Donald Trump's defeat. He was banned from the city as a result. He's going to be staying there for a long time now, Dom.
A little more on this, Crudy. Prosecutors asked for a 33-year sentence for Tario, one of the most high-profile defendants who have gone to trial in the Capitol attack, but they also asked for 20 years or more for each of Tario's four defendants, and Kelly declined to impose such terms. The judge agreed that the convictions qualified as a terrorism under federal law and increased the federal sentencing guidelines for Tario, Nordine, Biggs, and Real, and Dominic Pozzola. But then he declined to sentence each defendant within the advisory sentencing ranges, saying repeatedly that, quote, the terrorism adjustment overstates your role in the offense. On the case of Nordine, who was an on-the-ground leader of the Proud Boys, in Tario's absence, Kelly imposed an 18-year term. That was the longest sentence given to any January 6th defendant so far, handed down to Oathkeepers Stuart Rhodes. Last week, another Proud Boy leader, Joseph Biggs, received a 17-year sentence, and Zachary Real received 15. Pozzola received 10.
Ouch. And it was confirmed to me, at least, you know, one of the texters confirmed, 85% of federal time must be spent in prison, although it was suggested a halfway house. You know, after a while, you could end up in a halfway house.
Tario apologized for his actions and those of the Proud Boys, saying police who defended the Capitol, some of whom were in the audience Tuesday, deserve nothing but praise, respect, and to be honored as the heroes they are. I am extremely
late for that sentiment.
I am extremely ashamed and disappointed. They were caused grief and suffering. He also said he had early doubts about whether the election was stolen, but kept them to himself. You know, quote, every medium I turned to told me my anger was justified. It wasn't. I do not think what happened that day was acceptable.
Was he flipping back and forth between Fox News and Truthy Social? I mean, even Trump had been banned from Twitter by then, right? By January 8th of 2021, where are you getting these reinforcing thoughts from? It is an echo chamber. You know who's still convinced that it was rigged and stolen? Peter Navarro. And, you know, he's going to trial this week as well, Don. Yeah. As the Post reports, Paul Dugan, Peter Navarro heads to trial with a gutted defense and mounting bills. You're going to have a lot of Trump people with that sort of a resume going forward. With former President Donald Trump now accused of 91 felonies and 4 historic indictments, the legal woes of his erstwhile senior trade advisor, Peter Navarro, have been reduced to a prosecutorial sideshow.
It's all a sideshow. It was always a sideshow.
Yet the 74-year-old economist, still a loud proponent of the stolen election falsehoods of his ex-boss, remains noteworthy in this sense, Dom, after right-wing provocateur Stephen Bannon, was convicted last summer of contempt of Congress. Navarro on Tuesday became the second top official in Trump's White House to face a criminal trial related to a scheme to undo Joe Biden's 2020 victory at the polls. And Navarro, who pled not guilty, said it's costing him plenty. Oh, I feel bad, Dom. My legal bills just went up another $500,000, he said last week as he departed the federal courthouse in D.C., having failed in his last-ditch attempt to have the case against him thrown out. Such is the price of defying a congressional subpoena. If the flouting leads to an indictment, as it did for Navarro, how do you feel bad for the guy? Go give testimony under oath and avoid the $500,000 in mounting legal bills. He's charged with 2 misdemeanor counts of contempt, each punishable by up to a year behind bars for refusing to provide testimony and documents to the since disbanded House Select Committee investigating the J6. Bannon, convicted of the same offenses in July of 22, was sentenced to 4 months in prison. Bannon is free pending the outcome of his appeal. Free Steve Bannon? Dominic, you going to help me on this?
There's a little bit more here. In media interviews and a 2021 memoir, Navarro has detailed what he said were his and Bannon's roles in a convoluted, many call it corrupt, effort to keep Trump in power by delaying and ultimately halting the formal count of electoral votes in Congress.
He actually went on Ari Melber and basically laid out the case against himself.
Before its televised hearings last year, the Select Committee wanted to know more about the plan, which, according to Navarro, had required Republicans to carry out a torturous series of legislative machinations to reverse Trump's defeat. It was a quote-unquote peaceful strategy, many called it harebrained, that failed, Navarro said, only because mobs of Trump supporters stormed the Capitol, disrupting the endeavor. Really? That was the disrupting part? Clad in a dark blue suit and scuffed black sneakers, Navarro, who almost always loquacious when the news cameras are around, strode to a gaggle of journalists outside the Elijah Barrett Perryman courthouse last week before holding forth on his case. He wanted to mention, for anybody watching this right now, the address of his defense fund's website. He slowly enunciated it twice. By the time the trial finishes, I expect those legal fees to hit $750,000, he continued. Rarely given to understatement, Navarro cast his legal fight with the Justice Department as an epic constitutional battle over the separation of powers between the legislative branch and the executive branch, which is probably going to the Supreme Court. Sure it is. He said that he declined to cooperate with the bipartisan committee because Trump, even though he was no longer president, broadly invoked executive privilege in conversations with him, instructing Navarro not to testify about matters the House committee was examining.
Don't be a rat, Peter.
In a blow to Navarro, U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta voiced skepticism about the purported conversations, which are uncorroborated, and ruled last week that Navarro cannot raise executive privilege as a defense in his trial. Uh-oh. The decision stripped him of his strongest argument for acquittal. Jury selection began Tuesday with four defense attorneys in the courtroom. The meter is running. Four! Damn! Do I look like a rich man? Navarro, a longtime academic with hawkish views on China trade, who joined the Trump administration at its outset and stayed until the tumultuous end, said last week. As photographers squatted and snapped, he clutched the lapels of his pinstripe jacket and held it open. This is the same suit I wore in 2017 going into the White House, okay? Hey, you and me both, man. I got one suit. Behind him, shuffling ever closer, a 38-year-old heckler who goes by Anarchy Princess waved a poster-sized placard declaring, "Trump lost, and you know it." When the sign brushed Navarro's shoulders, he stopped talking, spun to his left, tried grabbing it, but Anarchy Princess wouldn't let go. "Bro," she scolded him, "you're already facing charges. Go ahead and commit another crime." Navarro, with a wooden smile, turned back to the microphones. "Here's the thing. If you look at the partisan nature of what's Trump lost, Trump to prison, Anarchy Princess interrupted," he continued. "The partisan nature of what's going on, you can understand the partisan nature of," he put it this way, "it's the use and abuse of our legal system to punish political rivals. And one of the ways they try to do this, they try to put you in prison, which they're trying to do with me, but it's also to bankrupt you, okay? I would just suggest that perhaps if you don't have the bankroll to be paying $750,000 for attorneys, maybe do a little less criming." But, you know, I'm just a small-time guy. I'm not a big shot like Navarro or Trump or Enrique Tarrio. 22 years, sucker.
One more related story, Dom. Jenna Ellis, you remember her. Taking into account former Donald Trump lawyer Jenna Ellis's highly publicized griping that Donald Trump and his pack have given her the cold shoulder when it comes to paying her legal fees as a racketeering co-conspirator in Georgia. One former prosecutor claimed that it makes her a prime candidate to flip on the former president. According to a report from Newsweek's Ewan Palmer, Trump's greatest concern as he faces off with Fulton County DA Fani Willis is that Jenna Ellis, makes a plea deal now that she is faced with the possibility of legal fees that could run into the high six figures. I bet she's not a rich woman either, Dom. Representing Trump never paid well.
No, man. Everything Trump touches dies. And I think there's going to be a lot of rolling and flipping and pointing of the fingers because, it costs a lot of money to defend yourself, especially when you have four attorneys in federal court.
Well, don't they plan on having trial in October? You better hurry up and plead. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You can join us. Hurry up and dial 844-967-2789.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, which you're able to justify and rationalize and get over, so I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's your updated forecast. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 11 p.m. tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows dip down to about 60. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 66. Overcast again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 51. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 a.m. Right now, 89.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You are always welcome here at 844-967-2789.
John, before we get back to the phones and our fair audience, people like Dana in God's country. Hold tight, Dana. You pointed out to me, Dom, there's investigations of the, let's call it the fundraising on the stolen election concept. The big grift, Dom. Jack Smith is seeking evidence of a big grift from Trump's stolen election claims. It's always been time to follow the money, Dom. Trump's raised $250 million. If that's not wire fraud, I don't know what is.
That's a lot of money, man.
I think we should get a new line of work. If they think that's kosher, we're getting in the stolen election business. The lead investigator for the House Select Committee that's investigating attempts to overthrow the 2020 election results thinks special counsel Jack Smith is now examining attempts to make money off the fraud. Speaking to Nicole Wallace today, Tim Hapfi, related suspected financial dealings based on claims the election was stolen to the operation that was selling snake oil. He's looking for more evidence of the big grift, he explained. We laid this out in great detail during one or more of our hearings, and it is outlined in the report. A lot of people were profiting from the false narrative the election was stolen. Save America PAC raised $250 million after the election by telling people the election was stolen. Sidney Pell set up a nonprofit and legal defense fund in which those same lies led to a lot of people giving money. Wallace played a clip of the House Committee's hearing showing screen captures of over 25 email solicitations the Trump campaign sent out in a single day. I had to block the Trump campaign there for a while, Dom. There was also an American First Foundation, which raised money and was hired many of the former Trump staff. Again, here's a quote, Dom. Again, it is important to remember that there is no foundation in any of these fundraising solicitations. So Jack Smith is understandably interested in that because it could be a fraud scheme, right? Telling people as a basis to raise money that facts that are just simply not appropriate, and it is part of a broader plan to disrupt the joint session. Is that a crime, Dom?
Absolutely, it's a crime. Wallace asked what the potential criminal exposure is for raising funds off of false pretenses. She specifically cited possible wire fraud. He agreed, but specified a scheme to defraud. Quote, if somebody says, if you drink this potion, you'll lose weight, and people buy the potion, relying on that representation, that's fraud, right? If somebody says, if you give me money, I'll use it to do the following. I'll give it to refugee settlement in our community. but you don't use it for refugee settlement. You use it for other purposes beyond that which you indicated. That is fraud. Wire fraud, mail fraud are crimes that broadly criminalize any scheme that is meant to deprive people of their money based on deception, based on falsity. That's one of the many things the special counsel may very well be looking at. He also said that this part of the probe is still considered active. I would hope so. Just because an indictment is issued does not mean that everybody stops and the record is complete, right? The special counsel is continuing to gather facts. It is tricky because he wants a speedy trial, and if there is a superseding indictment or additional counts against the former president, it jeopardizes that March 4th trial date. This could mean something that will come about if it ripens into evidence of control conduct, which it very well may, to other charges against other people. You know that Trump was the suspected head of the conspiracy, but there are many others who have not yet been federally charged, so Smith is persisting. And they got the same deal along with the Kraken lady, Sidney Powell, using her money in the same kind of a deal, setting up this nonprofit, this legal defense fund, and raising all sorts of money off it. I mean, this is also seeming to me, Curdy, like a low-hanging fruit, a no-brainer. I mean, 25 emails in one day, you know, wow. But what do? They struck while the iron was hot. I mean, why wouldn't you? If you're sending out emails and you're getting millions of dollars, you know what I do? I send out more emails, get more money, you know, until there's a saturation point. At that point, I mean, so what, $250 million later? And that's that. I mean, is that it? No, that was a number we heard of a long time ago. I can't imagine it has stayed at that level.
If you got that much money burning a hole in your pocket, please send a check care of the Devil's Advocates, but make it out to cash. Actually, make you this pledge.
Bring cash, a duffel bag of cash.
We will spend that money.
We will.
Bar tab or otherwise, we'll find a use.
We'll spend it as you would want us to spend it, as you would expect us to spend it.
As we would expect us to spend it. 844-967-2789. Appreciate your patience, Dana. Welcome back. How's it going in lacrosse,
hey,
buddy?
Hey, Dana.
Happy Tuesday, Devils. Feels like an effing Monday, but happy Tuesday. Yeah, and the check's in the mail, Curdy.
Yeah.
It's just so fun watching this. It's like Stephanie Miller said, it's just a big bag of rats, and they're all just gnawing on each other. You know, Curdy, one other thing that they could be going after for Trump money. Now, I read this morning, he was selling the mugshot, mugs and T-shirts, raised over $7 million on that. And they're saying, if Georgia wanted to, because that's their property and he made money off of it, they could go after that money and maybe clean up that jail he might spend a little time in.
Right. I mean, the point being is that would be a copyright violation. They own that picture.
Exactly.
That is Fulton County's picture. It's a picture of Trump, but while he was in custody, that's their picture. Do you think they'll do it, Dana? If that's the case, I would absolutely encourage them. What do you think?
I certainly encourage it, but I don't think they will. Hey, Dom, I wanted to go back also to what you were talking about when you were talking about what Peter Navarro said, where he says that, you know, all the excuses and the tactics that the Democrats are using. The one key one that you pointed out was, then they try to break you. Well, that's exactly what Trump does to all of his contractors. Over the years, he'll file bankruptcy or not pay them, and then break them through court costs until they just give up. So, I think that's where Peter Navarro is speaking from. These guys are always projecting, and they think everything they're doing, the other side's doing as well, and that's why they don't think this is all a big deal. It's really quite amazing.
Dana, I appreciate you listening to God's Country to the Eagle, 1490 AM. Come back more. Devil's Advocates.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Sentencing hearing underway for former Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio, convicted of seditious conspiracy for his role in the January 6th attack. Prosecutors asking for a 33-year sentence. ABC News legal contributor Asha Rangappa says the judge is also weighing a terrorism enhancement.
And it's a unique context because this isn't a situation where buildings blew up or, you know, international terrorism where it's normally been used. And the judge so far has actually added that enhancement to the other defendant. So I think it's likely that it will happen here. And it's especially notable for the government, given that this is essentially they're treating it as a domestic terrorism case.
White House says President Biden continues testing negative for COVID and there are no changes to his schedule. That after First Lady Jill Biden tested positive. President traveling to India later this week for the G20 summit. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. According to a WPR report, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and scientists are studying Wisconsin wildlife for signs of the impact of ingesting PFAS. Department of Natural Resources officials have detected PFAS in the water supply across the state since they began searching in 2007. PFAS have gained recent attention in Wisconsin as the Department of Natural Resources draws attention to them, and legislation is proposed to mitigate the negative effects. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is reminding Wisconsin students, teachers, and parents that the Wisconsin Department of Justice's Office of School Safety and all its resources are still available to help keep kids safe this school year. The state reallocated $1.3 million in American Rescue Plan Act funds to extend the Office of School Safety's operations, including the 24-hour tip line, critical incident response teams, and threat assessment consultation. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, rolling through the happy hour Tuesday that kind of feels like a Monday. Back to work. Long weekend's over.
Oh, man. Summer's over, but it's a short week. We'll be all right.
We're going to get a little more summer. I feel quite confident. The kids are in school, but the rest of us, our summer starts right now, yeah, as far as I'm right concerned.
Now the celebration truly begins.
Dom, you know, you and I are going to have to get a little serious about planning like a late summer loving tour. Gonna have to do a little tour. And
oh, it's gonna be the fall tour, man. I mean, we're gonna be fall now.
You know,
fall in love tour, baby.
Fall in love with the Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789. Kathy calling from Willie Street. How you doing, Kathy?
Hey, Kathy.
Well, just great. Thanks so much for taking my call. I listen to you all the time. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I was thinking about the sentencing of the Proud Boys and such that, you know, certain judges have recommended and then like 30 years and then they're only getting 15 or whatever. And I'm thinking the judges are afraid to sentence these guys to too much, because if they sentence these guys to whatever, what are they going to sentence Trump to? He is the ringleader of the whole affair, you know? I mean,
yeah. Christ, well, Kathy, they asked for, what, 33 years they asked for with
like that.
And gave him 22. So you got two-thirds of what the DOJ asked
right,
for.
Right, right. And they're like, what are we going
to do? I'll tell you what, Kathy, I'll take the win. I'll take the
win. Two-thirds is more than half, Kathy.
I mean, 22 years is a long time. That's a long time.
Well, any time would be better than nothing. He's got to do some time somewhere, and how the heck he's going to do that, who knows? I mean, oh, my God. It's a challenge, this whole nasty affair. So thanks for taking my call. Just
no, thank you,
keep
Kelly.
Up the good work. I don't know what else to say at the moment. I always have stuff on my list, you know.
Appreciate it, Kathy. Sort of a long Wisconsin goodbye, but that's okay.
That's how we do it around here, man.
844-967-2789. No problem.
Have, you know, some of these, if what, like 33 years or 20, you know, getting, you know, 10 instead of 15, those kinds of things. Yes. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, the book thrown at them. But 22 years, man, that's a long, long time.
22 years, 85% of that. So what's that? 17 plus, you know, like 18, 19 years. Dude, we've been doing 85%? The devil's advocates, 12 working on 13.
18, almost 19 years.
That he would have to spend in prison to serve a 22-year term.
Yeah.
See, that's a little back of the envelope
math.
That's
a long time. That's a long time.
844-967-2789. No Wisconsin Knights. Nice. It's Dynamo Dave from Duluth. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Man, awesome day. Rested,
welcome.
Tan, only have one belly button, unlike Scott Walker.
Hey, I don't know, you guys see the Atlantic magazine on August 19th, they had an article about how Trump constitutionally can't run for president again. And I didn't read the article because you got to have a subscription there. I paid a little. But I was thinking, and they're saying it's too... conservative constitutional lawyers saying this. And so I was just wondering, maybe you guys would want to look into having one of those people as a guest.
We've had some of these conversations before, Dave, and you know, there have been a number of lawsuits trying to preemptively block people from appearing on ballots. Everyone from Marjorie Taylor Greene to the Minocqua Brewing Company's effort to keep Ron Johnson off the ballot to Madison Cawthorn to, you know, now the effort to remove Trump, Dynamo Dave. But here's the problem. Until you got a conviction, it's going to be hard to utilize the 14th Amendment. I'm not saying it's not there for a reason, but if there's no prior conviction, it's going to be hard to keep them off the ballot. We saw that. Marjorie Taylor Greene used James Bopp, a Wisconsin-connected attorney, as her representation. She was on the ballot. She got reelected. So I don't know if that's the magic bullet or the magic beans. Thanks, Dave. Got loud word Dave's ad, apparently.
Yes, I don't. I mean, we don't know until we try, until somebody tries, and how's the standing?
Well, I'm not discouraging the effort.
Files that? No, of course. I mean,
guy
was engaged. You can't deny the fact that he was engaged in this effort. He was part of this effort. Now,
best thing that could happen for Republicans is that Trump is blocked from the ballot. Why? Because then they'd have all this ginned up sentiment. He was robbed, but they'd have to direct it towards another candidate who's less likely to spend the rest of his life in federal prison. But, you know, these Republicans, I am quite convinced this is going to be the election of their discontent. This is going to be a blue wave, not because American sentiment. I mean, over the weekend, new polling came out. Trump and Biden, head-to-head, dead even. One guy is indicted 91 times. The other guy, he's got a near-do-well son. But it's all same-same, right? They're just the same. But I don't believe that. I think when the rubber hits the road and the election actually comes around, the American people turn out to vote against Donald Trump in record numbers. I think Donald Trump's going to lose by 20 million votes. And everyone up and down that ticket, every Republican is going to wear that albatross, wear that, it's not quite a scarlet letter, sort of a pumpkin spice.
Well, and hence
tea on their chest.
The Wisconsin GOP has been unable to recruit anybody to run against Tammy Baldwin.
It's always Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. He's waiting in the wings, Tom.
It's pitchforks and torches time in America. 844-967-2789 against my better judgment. CJ, you are up. Welcome, CJ. What do you got for us today?
Morning, gentlemen. Hope you had a good weekend.
Morning.
Good afternoon, CJ.
Wake where up, you at, sleepyhead. Well,
come on, man. You lived a good life, brother.
Depends on what time you got up. But, hey, I want to be some actual news for you guys. The subpoena of Mayorkas for what did he notify the Bidens about Hunter's tax claims? So Mayorkas is going to be subpoenaed. On
I'll go look on Fox News right Digital, but I'm gonna disclose to you. I haven't been on the Foxy News yet today, CJ. So this counter news that you bring to us,
isn't it sad that you need Fox News?
Yes.
Isn't it sad you need Fox News to
actually get the news? That there's this whole counter narrative in our nation, and despite the investigation, like the Durham after investigation that falls flat of the Bidens, they continue to run them out. They continue to utilize Fox News and right wing media, and you take it hook, line, and sinker, CJ.
The mere fact that, it's not like the Biden family has been forthcoming. He uses aliases and nine grandkids.
Aliases on emails, dude, and grandkids? Come on. This is, dude, how many different aliens? Have you ever been, your real name's not CJ, dude. You're using an alias right now.
you've disclosed my name many times, Rudy, so that's okay.
CJ, let me ask you, and thank you for bringing that to our audience's attention. I'm sure they're going to run right out to Fox News, and I'll be more talking about it when an indictment falls, like four indictments, 91 charges against your former guy. And we talked about the family and his kids making millions and millions of dollars while actually working in the White House, but neither here nor there, CJ. Let's talk about Enrique Otario, man, the Proud Boys, 22 years. What's your comment on that sentencing and the Proud Boys and their efforts of seditious conspiracy? Do you think it is justified, or do you think that is also a political witch hunt?
I believe they're being punished for the wrongdoing they did. Whether it's excessive or not, that's questionable, because there is two tiers of justice today, as we see with the Biden justice.
I knew you'd get back there, man. It just took you a minute.
CJ, what harm do you, so they've been convicted of a seditious conspiracy. Do you believe and accept the jury's decision on that? That's the crime they were charged with. That's what the jury convicted them on. Do you accept that verdict, CJ?
I don't believe that all the evidence, like the 11,000 hours.
Enrique Otario. We're talking about Otario. We're talking about the Proud Boys leader right now, CJ.
I don't think we saw all the evidence. I didn't watch the whole trial. Obviously, he did wrongdoing, but, the mere fact that justice is even, we're finding that out not to be true.
CJ, so, I want to pivot on you for a change. Can I ask you a policy question? Seriously.
Sure.
Under Joe Biden, we are now negotiating drug costs with these big drug companies on behalf of Medicare recipients. Do you think that's good policy or bad policy?
I think that's spectacular. So it's a long time overdue, but, it obviously took people reaching across the aisle, which I think Republicans more apt to do than the Democrats.
Well, but, I will take your assessment. So what you're saying, if I understand you, CJ, is the accomplishment of Joe Biden, and Obama didn't do that, and Trump didn't do that, and there were a lot of prior presidents that never negotiated drug prices with the big drug companies. Of course, they're now suing the Biden administration. There's some claim, one of these drug companies, I was just reading the article, they say it's unconstitutional. It's like stealing from them to negotiate with them.
Come on, man.
Well, there are 537,000 Medicare recipients that are on one particular heart medication that the Biden administration said will be one of the first 10 drugs that they go and try to change the outcomes on. They're going to effectively negotiate the drug prices.
I mean, unconstitutional. If I come to the table with 500,000 customers, I don't think I'm going to be paying the same price as someone who comes to the table with two customers.
But that's the way it's always been, Dom.
Where has it always been? Maybe in the pharmaceutical world when you're sticking it to Uncle Sam because you can. And I agree with you on this one, CJ. I mean, the purchasing power and the buying and the ability of we the people through our government to allow and continue to accept drug companies to stick it to Medicare and Medicaid recipients because, oh, let me check my notes. It's always been that way is absolutely ridiculous. You want to talk about, you know, capitalism and free market systems. If I got a 500,000 people wanting to buy your thing, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a better deal than if I just got 10. Just saying. 844-967-2789.
It's almost like you think there should be a volume discount, Tom.
Is that what it is? Economies of scale. I remember something about that in business school.
Well, here's what I would say. We just had our very conservative, often trolly friend CJ admit that he thinks this is good policy long overdue. And I would just ask the question, who delivered? If you say it's bipartisan, I'll agree with you. I haven't looked into all the details, but let's assume there's support, bipartisan support of this, CJ. Who delivered that bipartisan support? Who got this done? You know, at the end of the day, the guy can't be, you know, a great negotiator, outsmarting people all the time, and also be so feeble and old and, you know, right, incapable of getting out a sentence, right?
But totally capable of running a conspiracy where hundreds of millions of dollars are shifted to your family. They can hide
shell corporations and aliases.
And different email aliases. Yes, yes. That's the same guy.
I think it's like the alias Mike Pence uses on his AOL account, Tom. Mother's Keeper. At not69.com.
Anthony Weiner have like an alias Twitter feed. Wasn't he into something like that too? I mean, come on.
Can we not analogize the current president with Carlos Danger? I mean, some people just have multiple email accounts. I didn't have good sense to have an email alias.
Most of them say something about Dom in them. I'm just saying.
Someone asked on the text line, is your wife a beautiful newscaster? And she is pretty, but that ain't the same Salvia. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You can be a part. 844-96-PARTY.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 11 p.m. tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows around 60, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 66, overcast. Cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 51. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 89.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you have something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. Of course, stay tuned. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up at 6.
Dom, I wanted to throw a little policy out there. The negotiation of drug prices. And you know that is happening because of the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA Act that Joe Biden came, celebrated 1 year. That was like 2 weeks ago. Joe Biden celebrated. So it's been about a year and 2 weeks. As we asked CJ, the, you know, well-known network-wide troll and conservative, CJ.
Internationally known to rock the microphone.
CJ said this is great policy, long overdue. He neglects to add delivered by Joe Biden, but he did say it in a bipartisan fashion. Again, credit be given to Joe Biden, please. But of course, we won't hear that from CJ. But our friend Jeff said, would you think that good policy or great policy? I think it's great policy, Jeff. I got a short piece here, and then we'll get back to the phones at 844-967-2789. Your final chance to have a hot take today. Neera Tanden with the Biden administration had this to say over the weekend, according to the Politico. White House domestic policy advisor Neera Tanden said Sunday that she's convinced that the Inflation Reduction Act's Medicare drug price negotiation program will be upheld in court because everybody's suing, Dom. From the right, I read on. Speaking on the Katie Fang show on MSNBC, Tanden said, there is nothing in the Constitution that stops Medicare from negotiating drug prices. Seems obvious, but she had to say it. We feel very strongly about our ability to win these lawsuits because this is just a basic principle. On Tuesday, the federal government announced the first 10 drugs that will be subject to price negotiations between Medicare and the pharmaceutical companies, including drugs that treat diabetes, heart failure, and blood clots. All seem very vital, Dom. But drug makers and trade associations have filed multiple lawsuits challenging the programs, which is designed to lower costs for Medicare patients and probably profit margins as well, Dom.
Well, I mean, of course, that's what the issue is. And they load up and we pay more here than they sell the same drugs overseas, man. We got to stop being the suckers here. And absolutely think all these should be negotiated. Why wouldn't they be?
Again, the Biden administration's Neera Tanden. Everybody negotiates prices. What the pharmaceutical companies are doing are they're going to the courts to ensure they can charge any price they can get away with. And that's wrong. Tanden said she expects the program to be expanded with 15 or 20 drugs added in future installments. It's really important to remember that for medications that aren't on this list, they may be on future lists, she said, noting that prices have been lowered already for insulin. That's something else Joe Biden delivered, right, CJ? Insulin caps, negotiated drug prices, seems like common sense, bipartisan support, according to our own conservative trolls. Thank you, Joe Biden.
And what would the conservatives have otherwise? A fixed market where the suppliers, you know, force their prices down, you know, the throats of the consumers.
Well, and right?
That's
not forget
what they want, because you can maximize your profitability, because that's really, really all it's about. But if there is, I mean, who's buying more of these drugs than the U.S. government? I mean, for real. I mean, if you have somewhere, if you have 500,000 people, right? Nobody. Nobody is. How do you not negotiate that? How do you say as a Republican, as a conservative, unless you got stock in it? And I get it, man. If you've got a monopoly on something, you
hey, let's not talk about Nancy Pelosi for a minute.
Money as you possibly can. I mean, that's the American way, right? Until you come up against, you know, the consumers who can also demand their own prices. They can negotiate. All right, you don't want to sell us this? All right. Then you no longer have access to our market. Good luck with that. Let's see what happens to the price then when you lose 500,000 people that were one time buying your product.
Didn't
it's going to go very well for you.
Pharma bro Martin Scarelli buy up the Wu-Tang Clan's music catalog? Nate's nodding yes. We can't even have access to good music, Tom, under the policies of these pharmaceutical companies. 844-967-2789. Our pal Wisco Paul. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. You know what? I can't say enough good things about your radio station and all the stations you've bought up because you can get the truth out there. Actually get the truth out there, which is a step in the right direction. As far as the drug program, it's a big win for Biden. I know if you have Plan D and Medicare, there was drugs that were Tier 3s and 4s, which you pay a premium price for, and they're going to be lowered to Tiers 1 and 2. So if it's a 1, you don't pay anything, and a 2, maybe $10. So it is a big, big deal for seniors, and it's a great I don't know if it was bipartisan or not, but whatever it was a huge, huge step in the right direction, especially for seniors. And I think it'll be I think that'll help everybody in the end. So it's pretty, you know what, Biden is not perfect. Nobody is. Not everything he does is perfect, but he's did several things that have just helped his country so much. Infrastructure is a big thing, you know, and here in Wisconsin, we get some of that too after Walker destroyed it. So I had to invoke his name here quick, Crudy. But anyway, you guys are doing a great job. And your stations, I can't say enough good things about it because we've lost a lot of local newspapers in this state. And you guys bring that to the table also, local news, sports, weather, the whole nine yards. I don't want to give you too big a heads, but anyway, I'm on your side. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Paul. The compliments. Send Spotted Cow. 844-967-2789. Our fine follow-up. Yes.
I just want to throw this out there. According to the White House, this jumped on here quick. Every single Republican in Congress voted against the Inflation Reduction Act.
Thank you for that point of clarity. Not exactly bipartisan, CJ.
Not exactly. No.
Maggie Dawn, you have Wu-Tang info. Please update the audience.
Yeah.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, guys. Like, as a Wu-Tang fan, I couldn't let any misinformation about the Wu get out there. So,
right.
Martin Scarelli did not buy their catalog. He bought an unreleased album called, I think it was called like Once Upon a Time in Shaolin or like Last Night in Shaolin. And literally they made one of these albums. They recorded it like in over 2 years. It was like ensconced in this beautiful box and he bought it basically at an anonymous auction. Well, he was then forced to basically turn it over to the U.S. government. When he was convicted for securities fraud, they got to liquidate his assets. So Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, which has no digital copies, it is not available anywhere except in this one album cut, was then auctioned by the U.S. government and was purchased by an anonymous buyer. So there's your Wu-Tang facts.
Tell me it was you, Maggie. You bought the album.
I wish it was, man. That would be so sweet, but that's a little bit above my pay grade. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
making radio money. Can't believe you can't buy unreleased albums. Maggie Dawn Show is next. Stick around for that. Then Busted Pencils. Keep it locked. Civic Media.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.com.
Owning livestock can be a tricky business at times. The insurance team at Ag Country Farm Credit Services understands, which is why we work with ranchers every day to help mitigate risk. So whether you're looking for protection against price declines or loss of gross margin, Ag Country can help you. Livestock revenue protection is available for cattle, dairy, and swine. Learn more about your options by contacting your local Ag Country office.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media app. News.